right, let me tell you about my week. I was having a good week, and Wednesday I went to a meeting over in Maitland, and my truck started acting funny. And by funny, I don't mean funny. And Gage started doing weird things to me, and on the way home, I'm in the fast lane, and I'm going 70. Legit, I'm not speeding. I was, but not this moment. And my truck shut off. In the fast lane, lights don't work, blinkers don't work, nothing works. All my gauges go to zero, gas pedal goes to the floor, and I'm in the fast lane. I have no blinkers, nobody will let me over. I look behind me, it looks like a NASCAR race, there's 20 people, they're all on their horns. Like I'm in the fast lane going 40 because I want to, right? And so all I could do was roll off to the left shoulder and let it roll as far as it would roll. And we stopped on the side of the road. Then I called for help and they said, Mr. Pudding, you are priority. Excellent. 4 hours later. Pastor Cord called me in the middle of this and he said, hey, Joe, I need you to do an interview with a guy at 5 o'clock. I said, listen, I'm sitting on the side of I-4 on a guardrail. I'm not sure you want me to do an interview right now. Well, Cord had been at a hospital in Orlando. He was like, where are you? So he rolls up beside me. We have a staff meeting on the side of the road for 2 hours. For 2 hours, we sit on the guardrail and we're like, well, we might as well make the most of this, right? But we're discussing some plans for the future. And he finally, he gets a little indignant. I don't know if you've seen that about Cord, but he says, Joe, we're talking about January and February of next year. I mean, we try to plan. And he says, Joe, we've got to make a decision on this. And I'm like, Cord, it's January. He said, I'm telling you, we need to make some decisions. I said, do you understand that I'm wearing glasses? He said, what is the fact that you wearing glasses have anything to do with us making a decision in January? I said, can't you tell I don't have 20/20 vision? In December, you'll get there. You'll be all right. If you've never read a Max Lucado book, I would highly recommend it. Max has written... Some of you are just getting there. Pass the joke down the row to help people out. Max Lucado has probably written a couple hundred books. Every one of them is worth reading. One of the most prolific Christian authors of our time. Makes the Bible come to life because he writes it in a way that just speaks to the average person. It is incredible. Pick up anything Max read. They're probably at every thrift store because there's so many books that Max has written. But one of the incredible things, when I read books, I read quickly and I don't pay a lot of attention to details. I get right to the book. But when you pick up a Max book, you always want to read the dedication page. You want to know about marriage? Max's dedication page is always to his wife, Dina Lynn. And it is one of the most amazing things you'll ever read. You want to fix your marriage? Read those dedications and then just quote them back to your wife. Because it really shows what a Christian husband, how you should treat your wife. And I will tell you, with all the things I do wrong, the one thing I do right, when my wife calls, this is how I answer the phone. Hi, beautiful. Except when she called me back when I was on I-4 the other day. That's when she knew something was not good. She said something and I said, you know what? Right now, I'm just trying to stay alive. So, you know, she understood. But anyway, so I picked up a book this week. A lady named Allison Levine. She led the first all-female team to climb Mount Everest. There's her picture. And she wrote a book about the experience. And on the dedication page, this is what she wrote. She said, I would like to dedicate this book to the most amazing, intelligent, handsome, charming, exceptional, loving, wonderful, talented, brilliant, compassionate, entertaining, inspiring, incredible living being on the planet. Like, I'm almost in tears. My dog Trooper. The Then, the last sentence. You're the best companion the gal could ever want. And to Pat, my soulmate, who is most of that and more, I love you too. I don't know. It's things like that that get my attention. But listen, here's the story. God's telling Joshua, it's time to grow again. And I think what happens is Christians, we get set in our ways. We decide we don't want to go, we don't want to grow. And listen, when you're not growing, you're dying. Whether that's an individual Christian, whether that's your marriage, whether that's your parenting responsibilities, whether that's a church, if you're not growing, you're dying. And most people can't figure that out. It's like, no, I'm just here. Okay, you're still breathing. We just haven't buried you yet. But if you stop growing, then you're dying. So God speaks to Joshua in chapter 1 and says, Joshua, it's time to grow again. If you'll stand out of respect for God's word. We're going to look at the first 9 verses today. And I'm going to encourage you to memorize a verse or two as we work through this. There's 9 of them you can memorize right here. So pick one that you like. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, who was Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land that I'm about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, that's Turkey today, to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land that I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law. Say that right there. All the law. Some of the law, part of the law, the part that you're comfortable with. All the law that my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it, from the right or the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Do not let it depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you say it. Go. The Lord will be with you if you... What if I stand? What if I just sit? What if I just show up for church? What if I just watch? God said, I'll be with you when you... That's enough. You can be seated. All right. So he says, go. All right. This is the same commandment Jesus gave the disciples. We've been through this before. He said, all authority has been given to me, heaven and earth. Go. Go. Guess what they did? They stayed. There was a persecution that came about when Stephen got stoned to death in Acts chapter 6. All of a sudden, the church scattered. The last people to leave Jerusalem, after the persecution. Anybody? The 12. They're still sitting in a huddle. When they finally go is when the church explodes. As they went, when you go, God said, when you go, I'll be with you. Whether you go next door, across the street, to Cuba, to Alaska, to the children's department, to your co-workers, when you go, that's when God says, I'll be with you and you will have nothing whatsoever to fear. Now, let me take you through a little Hebrew word study here. All right, this will be quick, but you need to know this. All right, it starts off, Moses, my servant, is dead. Do they not know that? Yes, they know that. In fact, they've been having a long period of mourning, because that's what Jewish people did then. That's what Jewish people do today. There's a long period of mourning after a death. But God says to Joshua, Moses is dead. That's the past, son. It's time for you to go. And the problem is, when we get stuck and say, I really like church the way it was in 1970. We always romanticize the past, don't we? And listen, nobody loves history more than me. But we're not going to reach a 21st century culture doing things the way we did 1990. And we can't get most churches out of the 1970s. Forget. I was at a church one time with a friend of mine, and he said, I'm going to try to get the church to the 20th century. I said, yeah, but we're in the 21st century. He said, one century at a time. I said, okay, fair enough. Moses, my servant, is dead. Well, I really kind of been living on my parents' faith, my grandparents' faith. You know what? They're dead. It's time for you to have faith. It's time for me and you to go. It's time for us to step up and follow. Dick Van Dyke, man, what a hero. Right? If you don't like Dick Van Dyke, something wrong with you. Dick's 93 years old. Big interview with him this last week. And they asked Dick Van Dyke, what keeps you going? Well, he talked about he's married to a girl that's 46. Maybe that's part of it. He talked about his exercise routine. He talked about his, light weights at the gym. But he said, more than anything, he said, I've never stopped moving. He said, when you stop moving, you die. And I thought, he just described the church. He just described most Christians. When you stop moving, you die. Because you're no longer going, and God designed us to go. If you saw the story recently about Julie Hurricane Hawkins, you see this lady? 103 years old, just set the world record, 50-meter and 100-meter dash for people over 100. You know what? I'll take that title. I don't care how old I am. I might have to live to 100 to get a shot at that record, but that's okay. When you call me Hurricane, I'll know my life is complete. What is she doing? She's still going. Let me show you the word study now. It says, Moses, my servant, is dead. The word for dead in Hebrew is M-O-O-T-H. And then it says, he says, Joshua, whatever you do, meditate on the word of God and do not let the word of God depart from your mouth. The word depart in Hebrew is moosh, M-O-O-S-H. M-O-O-T-H, M-O-O-S-H. Do you see a word play going on here? Moses, my servant, is dead. Don't you let the word of God die with you. Do not let it depart from your mouth. Moses is dead. It's time to go. The church, whatever it was, good, bad, indifferent, yesterday, gone. One thing I know, you can't fix anything from 5 years ago. You can't even fix what happened on the way to church. All you can do is go forward. Now, you might have to say, I'm sorry. You might have to repent. But you cannot go backwards in time and fix anything. And so many people and so many churches spend all their time talking about the past, either what was wrong or how wonderful it was. But in either case, you're doing nothing for the present or the future. And, you know, this hit me the other day because I still, for the most part, I feel young. Then I realized there's three generations between me and the current generation. I didn't feel so young anymore. No wonder I have no idea what people are talking about. And for some of you, there's five or six generations. It's crazy, right? I mean, kids come along like every 18 years. I mean, it just kind of keeps coming. And if you haven't noticed, they keep coming. So what are we going to do to connect with that next generation? If we decide we're going to stop going, if we decide we're going to stop growing, the church will die with us. Jesus said in Matthew 24:14, which, by the way, you want to know what's going on in the world, read Matthew 24. It said at the end times there'll be a few earthquakes going on. Look, you can read that for yourself. But it says in Matthew 24:14, it says that the gospel will be preached to every ethnic group of people. It says nations, but that's how the English is translated. Every ethnic group of people. And then the end will come. So the sooner we get this job done of getting the gospel to the world, the sooner we get out of here. The sooner Jesus comes back. But Jesus said, I'll be with you when you go, not when you build a huddle and circle yourself up and don't do what I told you to do. He said, I'll be with you when you go. So let's grow again. And then, how many times does he have to say, be strong and courageous? Wonder why. Apparently Joshua was struggling with this. I mean, I know Joshua, he's a hero. When I read the book of Joshua, man, he's the man. leading battles and leading spiritually and leading physically. But apparently Joshua's problem was he wasn't all that strong and he wasn't all that courageous. So God pumps it into him five times. Five times in one state, in one paragraph. You think God's trying to get something true to him? The word that is used there is the word daring. So I bring that back to us. When's the last time you and I did something daring for God? Now, I didn't say reckless or stupid. We've done plenty of those things on our own, have we not? But when's the last time you did something daring for Jesus? I like what one I was reading from a martyr, Southeast Asia. This was his quote before he died. He said, "You only get to die once. Why not die for Jesus?" And I'm like, I'm not sure you'd hear a Western Christian say that. But in the East, that's sort of how it is. If you're a Christian in China, if you're a Christian in India, if you're a Christian in the Middle East, this is very real. This is everyday stuff. And yet, we're afraid to go? He says, be strong and courageous. Do something daring. Again, I'm not suggesting that you risk your life, but I am saying maybe the reason you're struggling in your faith is that you haven't really done anything daring and you were meant to do things that are daring. Why do you think people climb mountains? Why do you think people go paragliding? Why do you think people jump out of perfectly good airplanes? Why do people do that? Because we were meant for greater things than just sitting. But somewhere in the church, somebody said, just come and sit. No, you come here to get fired up, to go out and do something that's daring. Now, the world is really good at this, all right? Now, we're going to get real serious here, and I'm going to upset some people, and that's all right. If I upset you, I apologize, okay? If God upsets you, then you need to repent. Is that fair? Here's the valedictorian of Brigham Young University, and I only put him up here because he's proud, so if he's proud, then it's okay. In the valedictorian speech this year at Brigham Young University, he decided to use that platform to come out that he was gay. And the entire auditorium stood and cheered. And I'm thinking, okay, why would we cheer for sin? For that matter, why would we cheer for sexuality? Hey, I'm heterosexual. Nobody stands up and cheers for me. Okay, thank you. But here's my question. It seems like that's what passes as courage. Now, I want you to listen very carefully to what I'm saying. As Christians, everyone deserves respect. Everyone deserves love. And everyone deserves the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. Because sin is sin. But what the church has done throughout history, but especially in modern times, is we have embraced sin and said, it's okay. It's not okay. We still love you because we're all sinners. In the same list where it talks about homosexuality and adultery, it also talks about lying and being disrespectful to your parents or having an evil thought. We're all guilty. We all need the blood of Jesus. But you don't get to say, well, that is just okay. I know you murdered people. Tell you what, we'll start a church for murdering people who like to murder. No. Can I be forgiven? Yes. Am I making sense? We love everybody, but I don't love your sin. I don't love my sin. I don't love any of our sins. So I'm not picking on any particular sin, but it's obvious in our culture kind of where we're at. And I'm like, well, I wonder what would happen if this was reversed. Well, it didn't take me long. The same day that story came out about Brigham Young, there was a rugby player in Tonga, of all places. It's out in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, who is a Christian. And he put a post on Facebook and said, repent and turn to Jesus or you'll all go to hell. They ate this kid alive. They ate him alive. And here's what he actually posted. Check this out. He said, warning. Drunks, homosexuals, adulterers, liars, fornicators, thieves, atheists, and idolaters. Hell awaits you. Repent. Only Jesus saves. Well, I looked at that list. I'm guilty. You're guilty. Nobody's being isolated here. He's just saying, if you're in any of these categories, which everybody is, you need Jesus. They ate this kid alive. Made him take the post down, apologize to the planet, all of this. But we cheer sin. What I'm challenging you is, when do we show that kind of courage? When do we have, again, I'm not talking about being angry or mad, but for us to say, you know what, listen, I believe in marriage, and here's what it is. I believe in life. I believe in pro-life. I believe in standing for unborn children. I believe in the sanctity of marriage. I believe, who'd have thought we would live in a time where when I say, yes, I think marriage between a man and a woman is a good thing, that you'd get booed. Who'd have thought that that's the culture we would live in? But here's what happens. All right, pay attention, because this is the meat here. One part of the church, it happened in the 1st century, it happened in the 4th century, it happened in the 9th century, it happened in the 19th century, now we're repeating it in the 21st century. Here's what happens. Somebody in the church says, we know that the Bible is the Word of God. The next group says, we think the Bible has the Word of God in it. Third generation says, we're not so sure. By the fourth generation, the churches are empty. Here's where we are today. All right? And this is what you need to be terrified of. So pay attention. All these churches that are going the way of the world, all right? They will say things like this. If you say, do you believe the Bible is the Word of God? They'll say, oh, I love the Bible. I read it every day. Kind of makes you wonder. But they said, we believe you have the right to interpret it for yourself. No, you do not. You have the right to make application to yourself. Because how it applies to you may be different than how it applies to me, because we have different issues. God, when God tells me to go and He tells you to go, it might mean two different ways of going. But it does not change the fact that we're told to go, right? All right? That doesn't change. But what they mean is, we get to pick and choose. And here's the phrase that you need to watch out for. It's been used throughout history, and now I see it popping up everywhere in churches. They will say, no, I don't believe the Bible is the Word of God, but I believe that it contains the Word of God. When you hear that phrase, you need to be very scared. Well, you see, when it talks about Jesus and salvation, that's when it's the Word of God. Well, how about the virgin birth or the resurrection or sexuality or pro-life? Now, those are all up for grabs. I'm promising you, by the next generation, nobody will be believers in the Word of God. Either the Bible is what it claims to be, the inspired Word of God. Was it written by men? Yes, it was. As God inspired them. And the Bible says of itself, it is inerrant, it is without a mistake. Psalm 19 says it's flawless. And man throughout history has tried to tear this book apart, and they cannot find a historical flaw in the book. But yet, this is in the church. I expect the world to do this stuff. This is in churches. The Bible contains the Word of God. Mm-hmm. So what that means is, you just became God. Because you get to decide which sentence. Or maybe while you're reading a sentence, you just don't like the two things he said in the middle of that sentence. Well, you just cross those out. That's a terrible place to be, my friends, especially when you read at the end of Revelation, God says, you take anything away from my word, he said, I'll bring the plagues of the book on your life. God takes his word very seriously. Well, you sure God takes sin seriously? Let's see. 40 years they wandered in the wilderness, and an entire generation, including the main dog, Moses, died because of disobedience. Oh my God's a loving God. He wouldn't do that. You better read the book for yourself. Do not let the Word of God depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night. Moses is dead. Don't let the Word of God die with you. Chinese Christians right now being destroyed. This new guy, President Xi, that made himself president for life, destroying Christianity, trying to. People have tried that for 2,000 years. Churches exploding underground. But Xi's confiscating Bibles, burning them just as fast as he can. Man, they're afraid of this word. They're so afraid of this little book. Because in this book is the power of God. Isn't it interesting that an atheist communist leader knows the power of the book and the church doesn't? Isn't that fascinating? But the Christians that are being arrested said, it's okay. You know why? Because they said, we've already memorized the Bible. They can't take it away from us. So when they take us to jail, we got it in our head. And when we get out, we'll just write it back down. Don't let the Word of God depart from your mouth. Here's a picture behind me of Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson is the quarterback for the Houston Texans. And he was in Israel recently on a tour. And during the tour, he accepted Jesus Christ. Here he is getting baptized in the Jordan River. Because he was convinced of the Word of God. Now listen, I'm almost finished. But if you're a guest today, we're so glad you're here. We want you to know what kind of a church you're in. And we stand unashamedly on the Word of God and the fact that Jesus is the only way to heaven. Love to meet you, give you some gifts. I'll be in a room called The Link behind that wall. If you're at Palm Bay or DeLand, go out in the lobby. Pastor David, Pastor Michael will be out there. If you're online, write in. We've got people listening. They're monitoring you. They will answer you back. They'll get meetings set up for you. If you need prayer today, there'll be folks over here. If you're ready to accept Jesus the way Deshaun Watson did, come right over here. Guys, despite the craziness that's going on in our culture, people are becoming Christians by the millions all over the world. That won't make the news. What will make the news is the insanity. It always makes the news. But God says to us, it's time to grow again.